the writer.
Matinee on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get up. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between De Pere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Educators amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie is here.
That's right.
Teacher Hallie, Johnny and I have been celebrating and putting out, you know, lots of wishes of gratitude to all of the teachers because this is Teacher Appreciation Week. We have been, you know, putting out there our favorite teachers and things they've done for us. And I just wanted to say one of my favorite teachers, and Teacher Hallie, we're going to put you on the spot. You got to put out a little gratitude to one of your favorite teachers. My favorite teacher was my kindergarten teacher. Her name was Mrs. Slecker. Yes, she was my aunt. My aunt was my kindergarten teacher. And to make things even better, when my aunt was sick, Mrs. Slecker was the substitute That being my mom and my aunt. Yes, I grew up in a little town in an elementary school that from kindergarten through fifth grade, whenever my teachers were absent, I had my mom as the substitute teacher. And so my gratitude goes out to my mom and to my aunt for being awesome teachers when I was growing up in elementary school there. So how's that for a little interesting tidbit of information?
Wow, that's really cute. Or was, did you like it? Or were you like, mom?
Oh, it's a weird thing, right? To have your mom show up as teacher. I mean, maybe you don't, nobody would really know that if their mom has never showed up for teacher, but yeah. When she shows up, you know, and it's like, what do I call you? Do I call you mom? Do I call you Mrs. Slecker? And I remember one time we were having a discussion on what foods taste sour. And I had just tried cottage cheese, and I thought that cottage cheese was sour. And my mom told me that I had to quit participating because nobody else wanted to hear about cottage cheese anymore. So I know, she shut me down. She's like, now, Timmy, cottage cheese. We do not need to talk about cottage cheese anymore. Anyway, Mrs. Slecker, gratitude, appreciation to those awesome teachers out there. Teacher Hallie, how about you? And then we'll save Dr. Johnny Lupinacci for last tonight.
Well, I have two.
Okay.
My first one would be, now she's my homegirl. Oh my God, both of my teachers are homegirls. That's cool. So one of them was legitimately my elementary. So from kindergarten through fifth grade, my art teacher, Mrs. McBride. And one, it was art. And I really connect with art and really enjoyed it, still do, you know, like the creativity. But I really, like, there's just things that I remember from her class, from like itty bitty, you know, and so that to me makes an impression. And then two, now she's like my homegirl. Like, we both still live in the same town. We're both fighting against these, I call them jabronis, that are school board. And so it's nice to be like in partnership with Mrs. McBride now. And she actually teaches art. She's retired, but she comes to my house and teaches art to my children now. So shout out to Mrs. McBride. And then my second one, seriously, this is serious. I'm not just like kissing butt, is Mrs. Rosato. And she's nice. Also my homegirl. But she's more from the lens of, as an educator myself, being able to co-teach with her. It was the most like authentic, real training I guess I could have ever gotten, teaching alongside someone for 10 plus years with her. I mean, her ability to work with students, any student, her ability to talk with parents, her ability to like flex, adapt. She's just so inspirational and knows so much about education that, I mean, I learned so much about the craft of teaching by being able to work with her. So those are my two teacher shout outs.
Teacher Joanna. All right, Johnny Lupinacci. Yeah. Who you been saving for today?
What, Tim? You know what? I'm kind of caught in between because, you know what? Unfortunately, this is why Teacher Appreciation Week is so kind of important. I'm glad we're doing this. I'm trying to scroll through and I don't have a whole lot of teachers that were great. That's kind of a problem too. I mean, I have some that stood out and I've named them, and I can think like, oh, I'd like to acknowledge, you know, Mr. Nesbitt. He was a really cool teacher I had in his art class, and, you know, helped me identify as an artist in, you know, my high school years. But nothing against that, but his style of teaching really wasn't influential or impactful. He just kind of was there helping support me in an identity moment in my life. Other than that, I had a lot of bad teachers.
Ooh.
So yeah, I don't want to dwell on this. I'm like scrolling through, I want to say I acknowledge all of these people that I get to teach right now, especially this current group of MIT Masters in Teaching students that are all inspiring because they were working through today the tensions they have and the way that their classrooms they were in were run. Not that they were bad, but like how they want to run their classroom, like how they like how they're going to develop their unique teacher identity. And so they were really inspiring today because I think we know a lot more about what it takes to become a good teacher. And some of us, we didn't have teachers who had that background, who had that time and intentionality to understand behavior was a form of communication and that you can be disciplinary without being punishing. I had a lot of punishment. I mean, I was thinking, Tim, man, if my mom was my mom was in school almost every day, but it wasn't because she was volunteering or the teacher. It was because they were like, if this boy's allowed back in the building, his mom's got to be with him. So I didn't have the greatest experience with classrooms, but acknowledging that there are people who are really putting in work because, like Teacher Hallie said, it's a craft. And, you know, you got to really learn it and you got to feel it and you got to kind of find your groove in it. And there's a science to it too. So there's like any good art and craft, there are skills you learn. And I wish that I had had teachers like the teachers I get to teach. And I won't take credit for them being who they are. I mean, there really is a particular disposition that I feel like for a while you became a teacher because you wanted to control kids. And I hope that that era is gone because really, you know, the gig's out of the bag. You can't win that battle. So hopefully no, you figure out a way to vibe with. And, you know, I was just thinking about all these educators who find patience and, you know, bring discipline to their teaching around acknowledging children as human beings, as having children's rights, as having, you know, voice and agency, also needing guidance. But, you know, I come back to that thinking about it. So I acknowledge all you teachers out there and appreciate you who are doing that work. Because I know it's hard, because trust me, I saw the short end of patience from a lot of teachers in my comp. So I'll be a little better about thinking of teachers I want to acknowledge. But in general, if you're out there and you care about children and you really care about children, not just your own or the ones that are behaving nicely in their seat, but all of them, then I appreciate you. And I hope more folks out there can come to that for the children of this their state, this country, you know, and ultimately our world.
Teacher Appreciation Week, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Teacher Hallie in the house. Teacher Joanna off tonight doing that union work that is so important. And hey, Hallie, it was so good to see you last week in Madison, Wisconsin at the Minocqua Brewery. You know what's so cool about the Minocqua Brewery? Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And yeah, there it is, Johnny Lupinacci. If you're watching on the YouTube, the Facebook, or actually watching the feed on Twitter, well, or X, I hate that X. You just saw one of those awesome beer glasses. But yeah, hanging out in Madison, Wisconsin last week, it was great to see Teacher Hallie, great to see Teacher Joanna, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slugger, all four of us together in the same space. And yeah, so it is, though, it's Teacher Appreciation Week, and we say make sure that everybody out there, you have some teacher out there. Even though Johnny Lupinacci doesn't remember that many, everybody has at least one teacher that deserves appreciation, gratitude. So put it out there. Make sure that they understand that. And again, too, don't send them like an apple or something like
that. Okay, I was going to say, I have a love-hate with Teacher Appreciation Week. Like, I'm happy to participate. I'm happy to do a shout out for teachers, but I am like, really? Really? And maybe I sound like, I don't mean to sound like I don't want to be appreciated, but I am like, the working conditions are so bad. And do you know what would change that would be if people were different in our government. And so I need people to go out and vote for pro public school, you know, like policies and legislation. And that to me shows me appreciation.
Nice. There we go. Right there. You want to appreciate teachers right there. Yeah. Politicians. Make sure they hear your voices out there and actually too, make things better for teachers for public schools. We do. We talk about that. You know, it's those who can, they actually teach. Those who can't pass laws about teaching. And we need that to stop. But, you know, no more people making laws about teaching who don't know what they're doing, or maybe actually do know what they're doing and making the lives of teachers miserable. Yeah, I know, Hallie, that kind of love hate with the teacher appreciation. You're like, okay, really, 1 week of the year, people are going to just send me candy and apples. Yeah.
Man, where did I teach? I didn't get none of this stuff.
What?
Well, I mean, you're correct. In high as a high school teacher, yeah, like, not getting much. But the elementary schools that my kids go to, I'm like, dang, you would think, like, you know, I don't know. I just, I think it's 5 days
of your birthday up in them schools, huh?
Right. But I'm like, a free lunch and all these gifts does not change that the teacher hasn't had a potty break, that the teacher has been,
put all the
time and energy into letting people know what's up and get them to vote for something better.
Yeah. True teacher appreciation, showing up with a port-a-john to put in that in their classroom so they can get quickly. Oh, yeah. Teacher appreciation week. Busted pencils. We are busting pencils, though. It's fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 is the number to give us a call. Moving on to teacher appreciation week. And next, we're going to go into where, you know, sometimes we don't like to go, but it happened again. School shooting, a little bit different this time, and in the state of Wisconsin last week. Mm-hmm. Lots of details we're going to go over, try to make sense of this. Busted pencils. Check you out next.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I hate when pollution burns my tongue. It's busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Well, it happened again. This time, Wisconsin, a little town called Mount Horeb, actually, too, about 10 miles outside of the town I lived there for the 9 years when I was living in Wisconsin. Used to go up to Mount Horeb quite often because it's a great little quaint town, small town, and awesome schools. And I had, you know, worked with some teachers. In fact, some of the students that graduated from Edgewood College when I was there actually ended up working at Mount Horeb. So, but Hallie, you know, the details and Johnny of this one is that, so it wasn't really a school shooting that occurred, because what happened was a middle school student showed up with what appeared to be at the time a rifle with a scope on it. The authorities were called, police came, and according to the reports, the student potentially pointed the gun at the officers, and the officers shot and killed the student. It ended up being an eighth grade student from Mount Horeb Middle School who brought the, what it was at least looked at like a firearm, but we later found out was a pellet gun that could be purchased easily on Amazon. The perspective though, too, what we've said, you know, there's always somebody who has, you know, well, what was happening. And I put out there for the promotion, I'm like, yes, it's the guns. Maybe it's the guns. We know this problem. But Hallie, thinking about this, you know, from the teacher's standpoint, how do you react, or how did you react when you saw this news?
Right. You know, I don't even know where to start with all my thoughts. They're kind of like really jumbled and all over, because I do, you know, respect, or like, I want to offer respect to the people who went through this, that family of a boy who's dead right now in as an eighth grader, you know, that entire community. And like, but my first thing I do think about is how easily I can actually comprehend an eighth grader bringing like a pellet gun that looks like a rifle to school. Like, and I know that sounds really bizarre, but I'm like, I've had students who have brought things that they're not supposed to bring to school. You know, maybe it's a pocket knife. Maybe it's you know what I mean? Like, maybe they carved out like a really sharp, you know, weapon out of a stick or like log that they found. Like, that has happened, I feel like, my entire career. And to me, that's not like, see, kids are bad. That's more like, to me, it's a cry for attention. It's a cry for something's not right. I don't feel connected. But like, an eighth grader's literal brain doesn't have that prefrontal cortex, that logic to be like, this might be a bad idea. You know, like, it doesn't exist. And I feel like in our society, we're so gun happy that like, then it just becomes into like, this is cool in their non-logical mind. So I start off there where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can think of students who've I've had to have those conversations, or even down to like bringing drugs to school. Like, kids do that. And the way that this child was approached is to be shot and killed. Like, I, that part to me, I think we need to give space for that situation, that family. Like, I can't believe they've released his name. I mean, he's in eighth grade. That's like, what, 14 years old? Like, to me, I just, that there's a sadness in that. Like, as much as I can order like a fly off outfit from Amazon, he can order a pellet gun that looks like an AR-15 rifle. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like that just blows my mind that I'm like, and yes, of course I would be like, yep, this could happen.
What could happen, and we heard this too, a couple of the, you know, little comments from the teachers that I've read in the press was, is that kind of like you said, Hallie, it's not surprising, which I wonder with that, though, too, not surprising if this is where we are with the whole guns in schools, school shootings, is that, yeah, it's sadly not surprising, school shooting. Again, the details of this are troubling, because it is, it's an eighth grader who brought what was probably a non-lethal firearm to school. We don't know why, but the ability to get something like that and then show up, and then again, yeah, the potential of saying, you know, was deadly force the absolute necessary means to create you know, a safer situation? How do students go back to school after this? How do eighth graders adjust? Johnny Lupinacci, just, you know, thinking about this, how do you, you know, think, you know, when you're working with future teachers, do you talk to them about the whole idea of school shootings and what they might want to do, and how they might want to, or do we just kind of leave that alone until, you know, we have to talk about it?
I think it's changed, Tim. I think when I was becoming a teacher, and then for a really long time in the beginning of teaching teachers, it was probably more or less, well, it depends on what course I was working on with teachers. You know, some of the like socioeconomic factors and the more political context of teaching, you know, Columbine had just happened, and so there was a lot of discussion around like, are we paying attention to kids, or are we just, you know, like holding on and hoping they don't do these kinds of things, and maybe this is an anomaly. Here we are, you know, several decades later, and it's, and it is something we have to teach about. But you also have to really understand that it shouldn't be like this. And it is 100% legislative irresponsibility that we're in this, we're in this context. So we teach about that, but the reality is it's no longer hoping that there isn't a school shooting in your school or district, especially for our admins. It's about like when it's, when it happens in your school or district, especially lockdowns. And so this is a tough one. I know when I started hearing about it after we were there, right when it happened, Tim, and then some of the details unfold. You know, I just feel like it's never good and easy to, it's never an easy topic to talk about school shootings, but yeah, we have to talk about it. We have to teach about it. And I also think within the broader context, and similar to how Teacher Hallie framed Teacher Appreciation Week, I mean, if we really don't we don't want this to happen, there are all kinds of preventative ways, because I really feel like I want to say 30, 40 years ago, a kid doing what this eighth grader did probably wouldn't have ended up dead. Now, sadly, I got to say, it depends on the color of that kid's skin, because black and brown kids been getting shot by the police, especially for, you know, pulling their cell phone out of their pocket or looking suspicious, right? In a park, not even at a school. So the gathering the facts around this, I don't want to say, oh, well, I can see how this happened, but I can 100% see how this could happen at any school. You're a listener out there, this can happen in any neighborhood. And and we've gotten to this point where we're literally, and no pun intended, and it's sick to even say this, we're trigger happy around guns and shootings. And I'm shocked. I got to do some research because I'm not a gun nut. I don't know. I'm not an enthusiast. I don't know. I mean, can't we tell what's a fake gun and not a real gun?
I don't know. Hey. Can we tell? Give us a call. 855-752-4842. Let us know. Can guns be distinguished between fake and real?
Not that that's a teacher's responsibility, but now I'm pointing towards law enforcement that shot this young person.
Yep. When we get back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Phillies home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In a new report on the war in Gaza, the U.S. State Department raising the prospect that Israel may have violated humanitarian law protecting civilians, but that same report not drawing any major conclusions. Critics calling the report self-contradictory. Josh Paul, former director in the State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs.
There's no indication that the U.S. government tried to interview people in Egypt or elsewhere in the regions, refugees from Gaza. So there was a lot more fact-finding that probably could have taken place here.
Fighting around Ukraine's second largest city is intensifying after a major Russian offensive. The death toll rising to at least 126 after heavy rains in the southern part of Brazil. Police overnight breaking up a demonstration outside of the president's residence at the University of Pennsylvania, and a shelter in place at Portland State University came to an end. All of this after pro-Palestinian encampments were cleared from at least three college campuses on Friday. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers' Gasser gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with an 11-2 win over St. Louis Friday night. Willie Adames with three doubles, scoring two runs and a pair of RBI. Brewers lefty Robert Gasser, making his major league debut, pitched six scoreless innings, only the fifth Brewer to do so in his career debut, including Jim Slade in 1974 and Brandon Woodruff in 2017. The 24-year-old Gasser came to Milwaukee in the Josh Hader trade and was more than ready to finally get a shot at the majors. Pat Murphy.
I think Gas came with a little chip on his shoulder, like, you know, like I should have been here last year in my mind. They made me wait, and maybe that's something that we can think about sometimes. Maybe we need to make some guys wait. It's great to see they get here, they pay their dues, they get here, and they got a little edge to them when they get here.
NBA former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer is the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, replacing Frank Vogel, fired after just 1 year in Arizona. Coach Bud to sign a five-year deal worth $50 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast for today. Slight chance of a shower. Otherwise, partly sunny and 66. A bit breezy out of the northwest. For tonight, partly cloudy, 49 with a slight chance of a shower. Chances for showers and thunderstorms on your Sunday afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine, 79. More storms Sunday night. Currently, 46 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip today about how to get more entertainment for free. I'm gonna tell you about a magical place called the library. Seriously, if you have not been to your public library recently, check it out. They have way more than just books these days. They have a ton of movies that you can borrow, and sometimes you can even stream them. Like when my kiddo was younger, we would borrow from the library instead of rent for our Friday night movie night, and then we had a little bit of money left over that we could use for something special. And if your library has an online app, that can be game-changing. I get to read all the magazines for free that I used to pay for at the grocery store. All of the celebrity gossip, none of the guilt. Okay, some of the guilt. And they've also got audiobooks, which really help me get through doing stuff like laundry or, you know, other chores. For more on how to spend less and save more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we play another round of three headlines and a lie you can play along at home. And then we talk Harleys this summer with Tim McCormick from the Harley Museum. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, what did I do that? Busted Pencils. Well, you hear the anger there, and it's, I think that's kind of the scream that we're talking about here. Eighth grader, Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, shows up to school with what ended up being a pellet gun, very much with a scope on it, looking like a high-powered type of rifle. According to what the stories are that we see right now, is that made some kind of move, and the police, as we heard very quickly, the first stories were neutralized the threat. And we now know that what neutralized means is was shot and killed. So lots of ways to discuss this: school shooting, too much gun culture, police, should they have shot? I did see a perspective, though, that you really said when the police, whoever the police officer was that fired those shots, the reality of knowing afterwards that it was a pellet gun is going to be incredibly hard for this officer to continue, you know, going forward mm-hmm. with thinking about mm-hmm. this. And so there's nothing good about this story. Mm-hmm. It, you know, again, the prevalence of guns, the ability to get such a gun from Amazon, the ability to, for the police in that situation to see that their lives potentially were threatened, and or the ability that they know that they're there thinking that they're stopping a school shooting, right? And then the other part is all of the students inside of that building that had to wait. I mean, I think it was like until like 6 or 7 o'clock that evening before they were finally released to their parents. So, you know, one of the articles that I saw from the Department of Public Instruction were, you know, here are the resources that are going to be made available to students, teachers, and parents in the community. And I was like, what a sad commentary that we actually have resources available for situations like this. And man, 855-752-4842.
Okay. I think this highlights a good example of the flaws in the system where, like, right. So this school is claiming to, you know, have all of the measures needed, right? That they had the right doors, they had the right locks. Like, everyone's really focused right now on like the trauma of what this community has experienced, but all of it is very reactive, where I'm like, if we were proactive, how do we help a student, you know, like not get the thought to have the pellet gun, to bring it to school? Like, everyone's trying to control these external things in an uncontrollable situation instead of looking at it from like the psychological like avenues of what's going on. We're just so focused on like, but now we've got locks and now we've got school resource officers and now we're arming teachers in Tennessee. But like, it doesn't prevent somebody from coming, which I get, you know, you can't 100% control that, but you like, the statistics show a lot of times it's a student that either attended there or a student that does attend there. So how do we actually meet the needs of children developmentally, social, emotional, physically, not just academically, so that they don't get the thought, or if they do get the thought, they have a trusted adult to talk to about how they're feeling? You know, like, I just am like, this is why I'm not surprised, because we're not addressing the actual problems. Mm-hmm. We're just adding stuff. And so,
you put that out there, right? They say it's like, you know, is school meeting the social emotional needs
of
children? And I would say, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified, you guys are on here and in large, you know, coming around and saying, no, that is typically not where we are going to, you know, put this forward. It's just that, no, can't. Johnny Lupinacci, thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's just, to me, this is really, it's almost cognitive dissonance, because it's jumping around to a lot of factors. And again, I mean, it is this whole incident is incredibly preventable in terms of, I come back to it, and I don't want to sound like I always want solutions from legislation, but it is about gun control and regulation, and sadly we are in this state of, like, we're in this moment where as soon as anything happens, this is tragic, and this is one, not a school shooter, like, point, like, this is not what we consider school shooting. This isn't a mass attempt to do a mass shooting. But I can understand why now we're in this, because we do go through active shooter drills, we go through trainings, we go through certain protocols that all of our school buildings have to have, you know, locking doors, lockdowns, all of these things. And so the immediate response is, we did all the right things. Look, we did it. Well, couple of like after facts. It's like, that shouldn't be really great. Like, we shouldn't be celebrating that. And then two, also, you didn't have an active shooter. You had a kid who brought a pellet gun to school. And I mean, I have an idea. I looked these up today, and like I said, I tried to minimize how much gun searching I'm doing at school. But you know, I looked at it, and it looks to me, an untrained eye, and I would hope our law enforcement had more training than I do around guns. But the idea being that this, you should be pretty easily able to tell this is one young person with a rifle. And that we shouldn't even be having to qualify this, but like, in the shooting situations, we know there are more, like, there is like arsenal of weaponry. And so I can understand that there were probably lockdowns that lasted for a while, because we don't know yet if there were like more students or more shooters or more things, or if this was a distraction for a threat on the building. So we have to protect the safety of the school first and foremost, sadly, in this current time that we're in. But then I'm on the flip side thinking like, really? This is not unimaginable. Kids bring things to school. The people do these kinds of things, especially young people. And I just, I'm sad that this person's life is lost in this. And I'm sure there are lessons to be learned, or a lot of people who are talking about, like, don't have a toy gun. Don't bring a gun. Like, even if you're, you know, like other ways to communicate what you need, because you will end up dead. And what's one of the things, even if you have a real gun, the presence of guns increases your likelihood of being killed. Like, even if you're a trained good, like you got a shot or something, I mean, you really just know more guns means more deaths. And so I'm just a little bit in shock too. Like, as I go through it, I just can't imagine. And that's the sad part. We have to not only imagine, but prepare for, because of how frequent these things are in our school communities around this country.
You know, you mentioned too, Johnny, the active shooter training or drills that we do, and it triggers memories in my mind of getting those trainings. And two things. One, I always would be very frustrated during those trainings because, again, I know a lot about neuroscience. I am not a neuroscientist. I don't claim to be, but I do know when your mind is in stress, when your body is in stress, you go into fight, flight, or freeze. And our training would always be like, just block that off and either like make sure everybody gets to a room or make sure everybody gets underneath a desk or make sure you're first, you know, like these very logical ways of thinking. And I'd be like, there's no way. There's absolutely no way in my mind, you know. And Joanna and I, teacher Joanna and I, because we taught together, we would always talk like we knew, because our microwave one time did like get a little flame inside. We learned from that. That her stress response is fight. Like, she went towards the microwave and mine was flee. I ran away. I was like, if this thing goes up in flame, you know, like it was just out of stress, you know? And so then we were talking about like, if there was really an active shooter, holy cow, what would that be like? You know, like your brain just shuts down and you're in pure survival. So I think about that, like these active shooter trainings, you know, I've always thought like, maybe it could work in some people's classroom if it matches the way that they have a stress response. But my second thing is, from reading articles, it doesn't sound like, or it just sounded like it was mass chaos, which I 100% understand. Like, it sounded like kids were running outside to other school buildings, to other places. Like, and I have no judgment of that. I'm like, yeah, people were in stress, like, get me out. Like, you know, it's just what happened. So I'm like, again, like all this time we're spending on like, and here's the protocol. I'm like, it don't matter. It don't matter, because we're not getting to the root of the issues. And so then, okay, ready? Follow me on my next thought.
We're with you.
Is that then I think about, okay, and all these babies coming back to school. How are they doing? Did they have to go back to academics to quote unquote go back to normal? If the active shooter drill, you know, wasn't really based on neuroscience, will they really know how to support these babies and their families?
Well, that was you know, and it was put forward in the press release from the Department of Public Instruction. I think that, yeah, I mean, the getting back to normal, though, is best practice in this sense.
To a degree, I'm not against the concept of, like, they do say that, though, like, when a tragic thing happens, try to go to normalcy. But I worry about, you know, like, to me, there's nuance. Like, so is normal just like, all right, math, unit two, you know, or is it more like you're going to come back to the school and we're actually going to teach around this? You know what I mean? Because right now it's just based on like, if a kid is crying, they'll be like, go talk to the counselor. You know, but what about the kid who keeps it in? What about the kid who's like, that was an interesting idea? Like,
I just imagine, Teacher Hallie, you and I, and Tim, you probably had some of this too, but like, we're teaching in the era of shooters, right?
Yeah.
And like, and had students sadly had this kind of violence around schools we're in. And I can just imagine, I was almost like, I'm only not at what Hallie's saying, but at remembering, like, it was like, oh, if you need help, you can go to this room.
Yeah.
Or if you need to talk after school, we'll have these resources available for you. Like Tim, like you're saying, the resources are there. But but everyone was looking around like, one, I'm not okay. Two, like, what are those resources going to do? Like, I'm not going to that. Like, and then all parties are kind of like, well, let's just kind of do what we're supposed to. And like do math or do our lesson or do our activity. But like Teacher Hallie said, what we know about our own bodies, are, you know, our nervous systems and our own development that pushed it way down, that came out in other ways, or it comes out in other ways. And so it doesn't address the need. It's not responsive. It's not responsible. It's just simply like meeting a legality, like, well, if you need it. And of course, maybe there were people who were like, yeah, I'm going to take you up on this. And as a teacher, like, I'm not okay. I'm going to go, you know, talk to somebody after school. But I can't say I utilized those resources, and I probably really needed them as a teacher. But I also know my students, like, after there was some big, you know, tragedies in our school community, needed that too. But sort of in a state of shock, just went to normal, quote unquote normal. And thinking back on it, it normalizes these activities. It's telling this generation of young people that this is the world, this is what the world is like, and they just need to deal with it. And it absolutely ought not to be what it's like for any young person or anyone working in a school or community, right? So I just worry about that too. I know that propensity to be normal, and then to normalize what's against what we need right now.
Well, that's the part too. You say, you know, getting back to normal or coming to some form of a conclusion that this is the new normal. We don't want this to be the new normal. 855-752-4842. Last segment coming up. Give us a call. What happened, Mount Horeb? Too early to shoot? Or police doing their job? Yeah. Give us a call. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
If you sail or enjoy water sports, why not consider a donation to International Youth Sailing of Oshkosh at Miller's Bay on Lake Winnebago? This group has passionately built a community of recreational sailing for kids and families in northeastern Wisconsin for 16 years. A donation from you would help us to continue to educate and enrich the lives of children in Oshkosh through sailing. To make a donation or to volunteer, please visit us at sailoshkosh.com.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Schools out. Not yet, though. One more segment. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie in the house. Sadly, though, school shootings, and again, this happened in Wisconsin last week. Eighth grader shows up to middle school outside the school. I guess people called, brought a pellet gun to school. Police were called. Something happened in an encounter, and you know, the first word was the situation was neutralized. And what we now know is that the eighth grader who brought the pellet gun to school was shot and killed by the police. And now we are doing everything we can to say, you know, so where do you go from here? What do you do next? What do the eighth graders I think about this, right? Who's like, wait, he was just with us in class yesterday, you know, like what are the resources available for those students who just, as you point out, how like eighth grade, the development, right? You almost think that, well, you know, they should have known better. Well, they didn't know better. And now how do they make sense of this situation? How does any community make sense of this situation to think about this, right? It just, and I put out, you know, for the show today, though, you know, maybe it's the guns and the reality here of going, how do we stop this? Maybe you can't. Maybe somebody says, Tim, you just can't stop it. If a kid wanted to bring a pellet gun to school and that pellet gun was available and they got it and they brought it to school, well, you're just not going to stop that. Yeah, I don't know, maybe. But, man, we could do better with controlling guns. We know we can do better than with controlling guns. Think about this, too. This story comes out, as we said, Hallie, Johnny, last week, when Tennessee now has legally created the ability for teachers to carry concealed weapons to school to protect against an active shooting. And now I'm thinking about this situation of an eighth grade teacher, and this student came in with this gun. Has the teacher been trained? And also, and now the teacher shoots their student. And whoa.
No, I had that thought too. Oh,
yeah.
Such an ugly thought. That sounds awful. You know, because we mentioned too, we have empathy towards a police officer once they realize they killed a 14-year-old with a pellet gun. Can you imagine a teacher doing that? Nonetheless, if anybody saw it happen, whatever. It's just so layered. That's a lot.
Go ahead, teacher. No, you go.
Well, I was going to say too, something that keeps kind of going through my mind is this, like, you know, I read these articles and a lot of the words where I just am like, you know, we just have different definitions about like really what could happen. You know, I read an article that they were saying that, you know, these kids learned a lesson in resilience, or like we're coming together as a community. And I just am like, okay, well, if I really think about this, really, this is the thing we're going to, you know, put a pin in our cap or whatever the thing is about. These kids learned resilience through this. And yeah. I'm like, I'm willing to bet too, like, was there any processing of what was brought on? You know, like, that's not the resilience that I'm talking about when I talk about social and emotional learning. And then two, the concept of community, where I'm like, this is a small community, like literally like population wise, they might have been in these schools since kindergarten. Absolutely. So here's kindergarten through eighth grade, this child. Mm-hmm. And like, if this child is feeling a particular way, was there really a true sense of community? Or when they say like the community is coming together, how do you really bring a community together? You know what I mean? More than just like a tragedy and then, you know, it goes away in 6 months. So I think like that's the things I want schools to really start focusing on, not just because of a tragedy, but like, how do we really make these spaces where children feel seen, heard, and valued?
That's exactly it. That's what I'm trying to think about and trying to land on, Teacher Hallie, is why should we even be surprised that this kind of violence is normalized? I mean, how many thousands and thousands have to die a violent death for us to even be talking about something, right? These young people have come up in an era where there's active shooter drills, there's school shootings, you know, they're the Parkland era. Like they're like not even his eighth grader, like he was probably just a tiny little kid during that first era. But this generation, and I'm going to say it because I'm going to go there, the kids voting for the first time in this election this year have delivered nothing but a consistent message that they don't give, their lives don't matter. Their peers' lives are in jeopardy. Their lives are in jeopardy. They've been through drill after drill. a failure of legislators and adults in our community to show that they're cared for, to show that they're valued. We're seeing it in the form of young people. The student protests are the age group of, primarily age group of young people who have said enough consistently over these years. I'm just sad because, you know what, we should be able to do more, adults. Like, legislators, policymakers, leaders have done nothing to show children that they're cared for and that they're safe. And we keep saying, like, oh, it's really sad. Oh, it's really bad. And I don't mean we, like Tim, Hallie, and Johnny here.
No, right.
I mean, like, as people in positions of power have continued to say, well, it's complicated. It's very complex. Well, we'll see. You know, this is something for the grownups to discuss. Well, you know what? Young people have said enough. What's up, grownups? Let's lighten it a little bit. Get out and discuss with one another. Maybe have a brew.
There you go. Brews.
Well, what a segment. Like,
God, tattoos. Oi, oi, where are the boys? No, anyways, little no effects there for folks. But if you can, we were just in Madison, and we got to drink beer at the Minocqua Brewing Company, right, Tim? And what's so great about the Minocqua Brewing Company, Tim?
Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua
Brewing Company,
who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And we do appreciate that sponsorship because, you know, with this is what allows us to continue having the shows, to have these deep discussions. And sadly, to have the discussions sometimes we never want to have, though. And so, yeah, it might have been a hard pivot to that, but we really want to say, you know, thanks to Minocqua Brewing Company for sponsoring, because, you know, Busted Pencils on the air now every day of the week because, you know, people like Kirk out there at Minocqua Brewing Company, Busted Pencils. Check us out.
Appreciation Week. Thank you, Teacher Hallie, for being on Busted Pencils.
Yeah, thank you.
For being an educator.
Yeah, thank you, Teacher Hallie. And Teacher Joanna, you're texting us during the show. Thank you, too, Teacher Joanna. We had to give it out there. Lots of appreciation. See y'all tomorrow.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Wisconsin comedian Rob Breckenridge joins me in studio for some laughs, and we discuss World Cocktail Day with an expert Wisconsin bartender.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Mino and the Mayor.
You can see him every single Sunday. Win a Super Bowl, drive off in a Hyundai. Her baby crib is bigger than his. She was supposed to buy Tyco with her money. She bought Lipo with her money. Oh, I just got it tuned. Somebody just tuned in. Said, hey, I just tuned in. Was that actually Kanye or Mino singing that?
Oh, jeez.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Did you see it last night? Plenty of Americans did. The Northern Lights coming south this weekend. An unusually strong solar storm making the aurora visible in the night sky as far south as Alabama. Israeli media reporting that the War Cabinet has voted to expand operations in Rafah, home to over a million refugees. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Because there's a million people there in very close quarters who've been pushed there because of the military operations in other parts of Gaza, you would have really significant civilian casualties.
The bombardment of Rafah intensifies as the U.S. report says Israel's use of American weapons in Gaza likely broke international law. Some bad news for anyone with credit card debt. A federal judge in Texas has temporarily stopped a plan by the Biden administration to lower late fees. The next major witness in Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York expected to be his own former lawyer, Michael Cohen, due to take the stand next week. This is ABC News. More tornadoes? Blame El Nino. Ohio State University's Dr. Jana Hauser.
There's some evidence to suggest that we might see an uptick in tornado activity, particularly through the areas that we've most recently seen, such as Nebraska and Iowa, and then kind of into the heart of Oklahoma. In a regular El Nino year, so not necessarily a transitioning phase, we would also tend to expect to see some higher probabilities of tornadoes in like the Oklahoma area in the spring months.
More than 3,600 students will graduate from Montclair State University on Monday, but one New Jersey family with quintuplets will be celebrating five graduates at once. ABC's Anthony Johnson has more.
Five graduates with five different degrees.
The fact that it happened all at the same time makes me super proud.
It's remarkable the fact that we're all able to do this in one ceremony.
And for the Pavolo family, that togetherness is the key.
We have each other's back.
We do.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they